The other day, I made cookies and I forgot to put a bunch of ingredients in them, and it just looked like mush that someone burned. And I was like, I gotta find something else to do. So I'm doing a podcast. Today's topic is a little heavy, but I feel like we were gonna get there anyway, so it doesn't really matter. It's Wednesday. Welcome to Falling Upward. Let's get to it. What's up, guys? This is like so weird for me because I've been wanting to do this for so long, and now it's actually happening. It's kind of like a surreal thing. But anyway, my name is Alexis. If you don't know me, you're probably wondering like who in the world and why in the world. I have a lot to say. I have a lot that God has given me over the past couple years specifically for this project, and I've just kind of been sitting on it. And now that quarantine is happening and we have all this time, it's like, why not, you know? So what is Falling Upward? I got this like concept, I would say like 2 years ago, and I fell in love with it myself because it's something that I've been living out and I didn't even have a name for it. Falling Upward is finding a way to live a life that is face down while looking to heaven, living a life of worship and surrender, committed to Christ. And it's not easy, but falling upward gives us the proper tools to do that successfully, to not rely on our own strength or anything like that, but to fully, when we fully commit ourselves, we're fully relying on the strength that God gives us. So that's what falling upward is. All of the episodes are going to be split into two segments. The first one obviously is going to be our falling upward topic, where we'll talk about, you know, whatever that topic is for the day. And then the second half of the episode, we'll be talking about the comfortable Christian who is living a life opposite of what we're talking about for that day. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun to explore both ends of that. I find a lot of myself in the comfortable Christian, and I'm working on coming out of that. So I think that this is a great way to discover those things for yourself, so that you too can grow and come out of them. So today's topic is the danger of default, specifically focusing on what default is. I know it's different for everybody, but the main thing is that it's whatever you are comfortable with, whatever you fall back into when you let go of or pull yourself out of the will of God, when you stray away from Him. Falling into a place of default, which is very dangerous for us as Christians. If you're going to call yourself a follower of Jesus, then there are things that you have to constantly lay down in order to fully follow Him and to be really committed to Him. So we're going to talk about the danger of default. I have a couple of scriptures to throw at you. I have some stuff from a devotional that I've been reading, and I think we're going to have a good time. So stick with me. So the danger of default, what is default for you? Think about what default looks like for you. How have you settled, especially being in quarantine and having so much time? The first couple of weeks of being in quarantine, I found myself just like kind of trying to distract myself from what was going on. And I wasn't like praying about anything. I wasn't reading my Bible. I was just like watching Netflix and on Instagram for like unnecessary amounts of time. what is your default? Like, what do you fall back on when the will of God gets a little too uncomfortable, or it pulls you out of your comfort zone, right? When we talk about the comfortable Christian, we'll explore that end of it later. But the main thing that you want to do is remind yourself to stay the course and be in a place where you're not so far from God that you can't hear His voice. That's one of the things that I found I had even struggled with, where I was so far outside of the will of God that I hadn't even had my ear opened to Him. It wasn't that He wasn't speaking, it's that I wasn't acknowledging the fact that He was speaking. That was my default. Maybe it looks the same for you. Maybe it doesn't, but you need to figure out what that is. And sometimes it's hard to identify because you don't necessarily realize that you're falling into a place of default, honestly. But that calls for some, you know, retracing of your steps, trying to look back at what you've been doing for the past couple of days or the past couple of weeks or months or a year, however far back you need to go to see where did things change? Where did I fall off track? Because ultimately, right, what happens is your relationship with God begins to suffer because you're not feeding it, right? So now that you've fallen into default and you're straying away from God and you're doing all of these things that kind of stand in the gap that keep you busy, but also keep you distracted from the fact that you're outside of the will of God, your relationship with God is malnourished and there's nothing pouring into that. And so it's at a halt, basically. And that's, of course, not the goal. That's not what we're pushing towards. It's not what we want. And so that's why it's important to identify what the default is so that we can come out of it. We can pray ourselves out of it. In all of our humanity, we seek comfort and reject the unknown and thus, you know, reject the will of God for our lives. We don't know what that looks like completely. And so it's hard to really say, okay, I'm going to dive in and like really go for it and follow Jesus when you don't know what that could entail. And so it's easier and it's on the surface seems better to just fall into what's comfortable for you when really that's the worst thing that you could do. In this devotional that I've been reading called The Imitation of Christ, I will put like a full description of it in the description of this episode. So if you want to take a look at that and maybe pick this up for yourself, one of the chapters in the devotional is talking about committing our cause to Christ. And again, living a life that is fully centered around the will of God for your life. And so in this particular chapter, there is the way that it's broken down is what Christ would say about you giving your life to him and then the disciples' response to Christ. And it's an interesting thing to look at. It's an interesting thing to read and get that angle of it and hear what God says about you committing your cause to him or living a life in total surrender to him, what he thinks about it and why it's so important and why it's the best option for us. So what does Christ say here? So he says, "My friend, always commit your cause to me and I will bring it to fulfillment at the right time. Wait for me to orchestrate the details and then you will be rewarded." So there's a lot to unpack there. The hardest thing for me when I read that was the wait part because I'm a very impatient person. And it's hard for me to go into something without knowing a good amount of what I'm getting myself into. So my walk with God has not been the easiest, but we're not promised an easy road anyway. Jesus says multiple times that it's going to be difficult. But I think that's the hard part for most Christians is it's like, I don't necessarily want to wait. I just kind of want to get to the good part, skip everything in between. I don't see the need for the process, Jesus, you know? And for me, it's always been this kind of like wanting at least a glimpse of what's going to happen in the next year or something like that. But I honestly believe that if we knew those details, we would either strive to get there as fast as we could, or we would try to avoid it as much as we could. Another part of default for me is trying to like figure out ways that I could implement my own plan into God's and trying to see how I can be as comfortable as possible in this process when once again that's not promised to us, so there's no point in seeking it. The waiting has always been hard for me because again I feel like especially when it's something that you want to happen. And it's like, well, God, I want to do this now. I don't really want to, you know, go through everything that I have to go through to get to it. So like this podcast, for example, I really wanted to do this for a long time. And I had the ideas for segments, the ideas for what it was going to be named, what the concept was going to be, all of that years ago, maybe like 2.5 years ago. And I just had to wait until God said that it was the right time. And that was really frustrating because I couldn't understand why I couldn't do it just then. I was like, this is harmless. Like, and it's so easy. I can just, you know, plan everything out and record, you know, episodes in advance. Like, I had it all figured out in my head of how I was gonna do it. And so I didn't understand the waiting part, but there was so much that happened to me between then and now that if I was doing this then, it wouldn't come to fruition the way God wanted it to. And one thing that you have to understand about God is that because he's sovereign, his plan is always what's going to come to pass, no matter what. We don't have the power to intervene or to interrupt his plan. We just don't, we can't do that. And so no matter how much I wanted to do it, there was no grace for it yet. And so when he says, you know, wait for me to orchestrate the details and then you will be rewarded, then you'll be able to do this thing that I'm calling you to do. That's what it is, you know, trusting that God is going to put everything into place so that when it is time, you can do it the way that he wants you to do it, because that's what matters in the long run anyway. When you submit to the will of God and say, okay, I don't know what I'm doing anyway, so I'm just going to follow your plan, that's where the grace unfolds. You know, you may be impatient and it's hard to wait and it's hard to not know what's going on behind the scenes. But if you're living a life of submission, saying, okay, God, I'm going to move as you tell me to, then that means not knowing all of the details all of the time and just trusting that when it's time to move, there'll be grace for you to do so. Well, what does trust mean anyway? Trust is assured reliance on the character, ability, strength, or truth of someone or something. So in our case, when we trust in God, we stand on the assured reliance on the character of God, the ability of God, his strength, and the truth of him, who he is, and our history with him. What has he done for me in the past? How has he come through for me in the past? You know, how has he handed things to me in the past? If he did it that way then I can wait a little bit for this one, you know, because I trust that it'll be just as good, if not better, than the last time. There's no failing with God. There is none. It's just not possible for him to do that. But it is important for you to understand that it may not look the way you're expecting it to look. That doesn't mean that God has failed you. That means that you had different expectations, and that's okay. But when you know that it is the will of God, and when you trust him, when you're standing on your history with him, it doesn't matter if it looks different than what you expected, because ultimately, this is what's best for you, right? So now, what is the disciples' response? Oh Lord, freely and completely I give myself to you, for my own planning gains me little. I'm going to stop right there for a minute because there's another half to it, but my own planning gains me little. I hear often people talking about not following your heart because the Bible says that the heart is deceitful. And when you bank on your own desires, it won't get you anywhere fruitful. You might get somewhere, but it's not anywhere fruitful. It's not anywhere that's going to benefit you, which is why he says, my own planning gains me little. I don't know what's best for me. I don't. None of us know what's best for us. We may feel as though we do because we've been us for some time, but we don't know what's best for us. If we had control of our lives, I'm a very strong believer that we'd screw them up. And I know this because I've tried to take control of my life multiple times and just ended up in a place where I was like, okay, God, I give up. And that's okay. It's okay to admit to being wrong. A lot of us have a lot of pride. And so instead of me just submitting to the will of God, I'm going to keep trying to do this on my own, and I'm killing myself trying to do that, you know. But there is nothing that we can complete in our own strength. It just doesn't work that way, especially because, again, we're not in control. So my own planning gains me little. I won't get very far trying to do things on my own. If we are truly going to follow this falling upward concept or lifestyle, it's a matter of surrendering your own agendas and your own, you know, the things that you're relying on that are not God have to be laid down. There is nothing that is more important than Him. There is nothing that is more fulfilling. You know, everything else is futile. I've been trying to follow a lifestyle where every single thing that I do is surrendered back to Him. Even this podcast. I don't want to be in a place where, you know, I'm putting my trust in other things, even if those things are what God had given me in the first place, but then I put more trust in those things than I do in Him. That's not how this works. You get what I'm saying? Where God could tell me, you know, or God gave me an amazing opportunity to study at a school that I had fallen in love with very quickly. And I had gotten all of these scholarships, and it was nothing that I could have done on my own. I know that that was God ordained. But I could very easily start the semester and just be fully immersed in everything that comes with being a full-time student and completely stray away from God. And it could be ripped from me, because that's not the point of Him giving me what He gave me. It's so that He can get glory out of it. And so I had to get to a place where I wasn't so consumed with my routine or you know, figuring out what my major was going to be or having a really good schedule. I had gotten so consumed with those things that I had taken my eyes off of God. And I found myself in a place that was very, very empty and, you know, trying to find fulfillment in areas that were not going to bring me that. I knew that for certain, but there's just that small part of me that still banked on getting fulfillment out of, you know, having a full agenda for one day or getting all my assignments done. And all of those things are amazing. But when none of them are surrendered to God, what does it matter? So let's look at the Bible. Matthew 16 and 24. Then Jesus said to His disciples, "If anyone wants to come with Me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me." Luke 9 and 23 says, "Take up his cross daily and follow Me." And that is what falling upward is. Living a life that is daily committed to God. Every single day, waking up and saying, "Thank you, God, for another day." You know, it is not, my alarm clock didn't wake me up. I could have very well have slept through that. God woke you up this morning and every morning before this. And that alone gives you reason to commit to Him. He's giving you another day, another chance to live a life in pursuit of Him. So why not do it? When we talk about daily submission, we're talking about a life centered around the will of God, completely, fully committed to Him, no matter what is happening around us, saying, "God, I trust You. I'm standing on My history with You, and I know that You're going to do what You do best. All of this is going to make sense to Me at some point. It may not make sense to me now. I can't understand why I'm in the place that I'm in. I can't understand why there's a pandemic happening right now, why the world is on pause right now, and why my life has been ripped from me. My life as I knew it." But if you can fully stand on how God worked out things before, there's no need to sit in fear of the future now. The other half of the disciples' response is, "I wish I did not obsess on future events, but that I could offer myself completely to you and your pleasing will without delay. That is the tricky part. There was a point in my life where I was so convinced that I could figure things out for myself, and I didn't necessarily need to talk to God about it. I was just so worried about what was going to happen to me in the future. I didn't understand why things were unfolding the way that they were. And instead of consulting God about it, I just decided I was going to take matters into my own hands and just figure this out so that I can be in a place where I feel secure and I know what's going to happen. But you never get there in your own strength. You never get there relying on your own ability to figure things out, because I can say it a million times, we're not in control. And if we're not in control, then we don't know everything that's going to happen, no matter how much we try to. There's a difference between trying to figure things out and actually knowing what's going on. When I was applying for college last year, I tell this story all the time because I really saw God working in my life. Like, I could really like see it. That was like probably the first time that I could fully see him like involved in an area of my life that I didn't think I needed to ask him for help in, to be honest. I wasn't at a place where like every aspect of my life was committed to him. So I wasn't expecting him to do anything in that area. But when I applied to college, I applied to a bunch of schools that he didn't want me to be at. I had convinced myself that he wanted me to be there because I wanted to be there. And that's a very common thing for Christians, is we can mistake our own plans for the will of God. If I'm convinced enough that this is good for me, then I can convince myself that God wants it for me. And that's not a good place to be in. So I applied to all of these schools, and you know, I just figured I was gonna get into at least one of them, because I applied to about 8 schools, and I was really excited to open all my letters at the same time. I had saved them to open them at the same time, and I didn't get in anywhere, and I was like, wow, like what am I gonna do now? I was like, dang, like God really played me, because I was so convinced, like you could not tell me anything. You could not tell me that I wasn't gonna get into one of those schools. I was so convinced. And at that point I realized, like I had like a light bulb, and I was like, okay, I don't know what I'm doing, because I thought I did, but this didn't work. So at a moment where I just like I prayed and I told God that I wanted him to take control, because once again, I realized that I didn't have any. And the minute I did that, about 2 days after that, my counselor at school gave me like a list of schools that I should apply to. And my school, the name of my school just stuck out to me. So I looked it up as soon as I got home. And as soon as I opened as soon as the website popped up, I was like, this is where I'm going. Like, this is the school that I'm going to. And I didn't want to have that mindset, because I had that mindset for every school that I applied to before this. So I was like, okay, let me just like calm down for a minute. I looked into all the programs that they had. There were so many things that I was interested in at the time. So I was really excited about that. I had the opportunity to speak to students that were already there, so that I could get like a real idea of what campus life was and everything like that. I applied on a Monday, and then I had to send in my SAT scores on a Wednesday, and I got accepted Thursday. And it was such a mind-blowing thing, because even though, you know, at that point I had just kind of like given up, and I was like, God, whatever you want to do. Like, I had convinced myself that I wasn't going to college after that, but I applied anyway. And the minute that I had submit to the will of God, the minute I had given up control, I had gotten into the school that I wanted to go to. They gave me a scholarship, and then I got about 5 or 6 scholarships back to back. There was so much grace given to me after I had stepped into the will of God and I had stopped trying to do things on my own. My own planning gains me little. There's nothing good to come of it. There's nothing fruitful to come of it. I have to partner with God in every area of my life, or I will fall short and I'll find myself in a place of disappointment. So my default was just taking control, constantly trying to take control and trying to figure out what was happening instead of just submitting. So what does your default look like? You know, what do you fall back on when things get a little too shaky or you can't really figure out what's happening, so you just fall back? Let's look at the comfortable Christian. What is the comfortable Christian doing in this scenario? How does the comfortable Christian fall into default? I think the comfortable Christian wants to feel secure. And they're not finding enough security in God, so they're looking to their own plans. When I imagine the comfortable Christian, I imagine someone just like kind of sitting on the couch, not really doing anything, kind of ignoring God, not acknowledging the fact that there's so much that they could be doing, but they've kind of given up. But they think that they're working towards something because it's their own plan. So they think that they're working towards something, but they're really not. And they're refusing to take up the cross like Jesus tells us to in Matthew. So when you put yourself in that position, you're abandoning every aspect of God's plan for you, and you're removing yourself from the grace that comes with following him in that plan, right? There's no grace or provision for the comfortable Christian because the comfortable Christian is not submitted. The comfortable Christian is not living a life of surrender, and therefore, there's nothing happening there. Nothing is getting done. They're stagnant. They're stuck on the couch. I imagine like the amount of energy that it takes for the comfortable Christian to get up is the amount of energy that it takes some of us to get up in the morning when it's like the middle of December and it's still dark outside, but like you have somewhere to be and it's really cold outside, but it's warm in your room and it's like, okay, God, give me like 5 more minutes and then I'm gonna get up and I'm gonna do what you asked me to do. Like, give me like another few days and then I'm gonna do it. Like, there's a couple things I want to do first. I want to sin first and then I'll buckle down and I'll follow you. That's not how it works. Submitting without delay, answering the call without delay. That's what living a life falling upward looks like. If I'm going to be totally surrendered, then there are areas of my life that I have to be willing to give up no matter how attached I am to them. Being attached to them is the problem, really, because the only one that you should be attached to is God. I believe very strongly that the comfortable Christian is deceived. They're in a place where they think that they're comfortable, but they're really not. It's just that we find comfort being able to live in situations that we're used to. You know, we favor familiarity over the unknown, over the plan of God, ultimately, because we don't know all that that entails. So you may not truly be comfortable, but the comfort lies in knowing what's going to happen. I know what this looks like, and I know what I can and cannot do in this situation. But if I submit to the will of God, I don't know what tomorrow looks like. I don't even know if tomorrow will get here. You know, the comfort gives us this sense of like false hope and gives us something that we think that we can hold on to, but it never gets us anywhere because, again, the comfortable Christian is stagnant and they don't realize that they are. They think that they're moving somewhere, but they're not. They're still on the couch, you know, and the couch can be very comfortable, but it's not productive. And we want to be productive in our faith. We want to be productive in our relationship with God. Not striving, but living in pursuit of him. God, what do you want me to do with this thing? What do you want me to do with this other thing? How can I submit everything to you? The comfortable Christian can be very satisfied with not doing anything at all either. They don't necessarily have to believe that they're getting anything done, they can be very okay with not doing anything. And that brings me into next week's topic, which will be futile faith. And we're going to look at James 2 and 26 if you want to look ahead for next week. I pray that today that you really got something to hold on to, something to think about. What is your default? What are the things that you are settling for over God's plan? And I hope that, I pray that God will give you a revelation so that you'll realize that because he knows best, his plan is the best thing to follow. That's it for today. I can't wait to see you next week. We have so much to talk about next week. In fact, let's get a little sneak peek. Futile faith looks like I am gonna sit here and worry about this thing, even though I've prayed for it. I'm not actually working towards what God has for me. I'm just kind of in a place where, you know what, I've prayed about it to say that I prayed about it, and now I'm gonna do what I wanted to do in the first place. And that gets you nowhere.